ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all. Their executive producer, Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Moore, me, Stephanie Miller. The breaking news this morning, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, John F. Kennedy's sister, has died, has passed away this morning. We will be covering all the news that's fit to print this morning. Meanwhile, by the by, Jim, I have a top of the mind, top of the show quote for you. Who said the health care reform debate is not pretty and you can bet it will get uglier? Well, let me correct myself. There is no debate. A debate actually is on an issue so important as health care reform requires reason, knowledge, well-thought-out arguments, and a modicum of intellectual honesty. What we have instead is a shameless attempt at derailing reform by planting lies, buying influence, creating confusion, and bullying people. Money is no object for the special interests who have no compunction about using any tactic to, quote, take down Obama and along with him 47 million uninsured Americans. It is going to get uglier. Who said that?
David Beckham.
No, a spectacularly bad guest, though. Congressman Joseph Crowley, one of our personal favorites. Why, who is it, Jim?
Well, what are the odds? In the great state of New York, it's Representative Joseph Crowley, who is not a soccer player, as far as I know.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be with you.
Yeah, nice to be with you, too. I, you know, you're doing something, I think, very smart and creative in these, you know, sort of lynch mob mentality of these town halls that are going on today. You have a interactive healthcare forum on your website. It's 24/7, right?
Yeah, it is. In fact, we're trying to use every medium we possibly can to get information out to our constituency and to the broader constituency as well. I mean, you don't have to be a constituent of mine to get on my website. And at the same time, get the feedback and be able to kind of read through, you know, some of the messaging that's going out there. I know very well, Stephanie, that people don't necessarily like every aspect of what we're doing.
Right.
But what we have seen so far, and by the way, I'm not afraid to even confront people on that measure.
Right.
What I think is wrong is when they shut down discussion, when they shut down town hall meetings. I've made the point that town hall meetings have been a uniquely American experience. They could date back prior to the Revolutionary War and the creation of America, the United States. And it's, you know, an opportunity for people to give, have that give and take. But when, and I, again, have no problem with people expressing themselves and, you know, giving it their all and even challenging respectfully their member of Congress. But when they disrupt or stop the meetings from taking place, and then, you know, take it to the next level where they're, like, you know, actually burning people in effigy or, you know, having members' names on tombstones, et cetera, you know, what's the next step after that? And I think that's what people are missing. And it's the targeting of these events. This is not happening in every single congressional district. It's happening in, you know, the most vulnerable Democratic districts where Democrats don't have a very large margin, where these seats have been won, you know, very recently from Republicans. So really, it is a very orchestrated, and I think people have to see that.
Well, you know, and you make some really good points on your website. You say, you know, most people understand affordable health care for all, far from being a luxury, is actually an urgent necessity, more important, a moral obligation. So, I mean, I think that, you know, as this is really shaping up this August, Congressman, that's what I keep thinking. This really is not just a, you know, it is the moral issue of our time, and it is important. And that's why, you know, we can't just have these politics as usual. People really do have meaningful questions. I have questions that need to get answered. You know, this is a really important debate that, you're right, the point of this is just to shut these meetings down.
Well, you know, the points that I've been focusing on have been obviously the cost of delivery health care, maintaining choice, making sure that people have access even to the plan they have right now, and care and coverage. And, you know, because you lose your job doesn't mean you should lose your health care coverage. And that's part of the plan that we have, to make sure that if you do somehow lose your job, that you're not going to be forced to lose your health care coverage.
Right.
I think that's, you know, the my wife is a nurse. I hear about the horror stories. You know, my wife works in a hospital. I know how hospitals are being used for primary care healthcare delivery when that's not what they're meant for. Mm-hmm. They're meant for catastrophic coverage. They're meant for trauma. But emergency rooms, especially in my district in Queens, I go to Elmhurst General, and it's just packed with people looking for primary care. If they have the flu, if they don't feel
right,
good, if they have a headache for a week, you know, that kind of thing. And that simply is costing us and the system too much money.
Congressman, that's the point that I've been thinking of in the last couple of days, because, you know, you look at some of these polls, and, I think the right-wing noise machine has worked to the extent that people are confused, and they're evenly split on this. And I have to say, I was thinking about this personally, because I thought the Republicans, they do tend to play to your worst instincts. It's all about, like, me, and I think they play to people going, why should I pay to insure all those other people that aren't, you know? But I think you're trying to explain why it's going to cost us money anyway. Can you explain?
They're paying for it now.
Right.
That's the hardest thing for me to get through to people. I said, if you have health care coverage, you're paying for the uninsured. In my district, I have...
But explain why, because that's the big divide we're seeing, is that people that have insurance are against this.
Okay.
Not obviously entirely, but more so.
And it's pretty commonsensical. I think being from New York, you get it pretty quickly. We have in New York City, we have the uninsured, the underinsured, people don't have enough coverage, and then we have the uninsurable, people who don't have status here in the United States to have anything legally, undocumented, who, throughout our city. When they get sick... and they cannot afford they have no coverage, they can't go to a primary care physician. Their only option is to go to the emergency room, where the cost of delivery of that care is tenfold, 10 times the cost it would be if they had a primary care physician. And that cost is picked up by everyone who has insurance today. The federal government pays money to hospitals, known as DSH payments, this disproportionate share. I think it's DSH, I think is what it stands for, exactly what the initials stand for, but it's a disproportionate share. In other words, we make up to those hospitals the shortfall they have for treating the uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that, you know, what we're trying to do is reduce that. We may not be able to eliminate entirely, because even under the best of plans, not everyone, you know, if they're not a documented citizen, they may not have access to this. And if they get sick, they need to go somewhere. But it will help reduce it tremendously, and the cost, the burden that is on everyone else will be reduced tremendously.
Right. You make another good point at the end of your website here. Obama's plan is not perfect. Obviously, some of us on the left criticize parts of it. But contrary to the malicious propaganda of its enemies, it is fully paid for, will sustain costs for consumers, expand coverage, and ensure that people have their choice of doctors. The enemies of health care are powerful and ruthless. For reform to happen, we must all inform ourselves and get involved. Call Congress today. Urge your representative to pass health care. I think that the most important thing you said is the first part of that. Inform yourself.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, once in a while I fall for something the right wing says. I'm like, really? Is that in the bill? And then you do the modicum of research and go, oh, no, that's not in the bill.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, doing nothing is just not an option anymore. We just can't simply keep putting this off. The costs are just getting so high, we're going to bankrupt ourselves. I do think that you're right. I mean, it's so easy to fall into that trap. I'll give you one great example. I was at the White House with a meeting with the president, and I brought up the subject to the president about him needing to focus on the American people and talk about end of life. Not ending life, not saying to people,
right,
you must die after this day. No, it's about talking to people rationally about having a directive. Only 1 in 5 people in this country have a directive to tell their family or tell their doctors what they would like to have happen near the end of life. And that has a tremendous cost to us. Not saying we shouldn't do everything to keep everyone alive if that's what they want to do.
Right. But that's again, Congressman, what is so just wrong and disingenuous of the right, like the Sarah Palins of the world, to call that a death panel, or the government's going to decide who lives or dies, and the president's plan is evil. And then she comes out tomorrow and says, we really need to be civil at these town halls. It's like the president's trying to kill you.
Civil.
But be civil about it. Yeah.
She was being civil.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing is,
she's being civil.
Right. We all make jokes about the Sarah Palins, but it's like this really is getting not funny anymore, isn't it? I mean, this really is too important to, like I say, that's the out and out lies that are putting, being put forward. It takes time and energy that you could be using to really explain what this is about to combat.
Back to my whole point about these town halls. I mean, we are finding other ways. I'm using telephone conferencing town halls. I'm using, my your Congress on the street, your Congress at the supermarket. Even there, you have some risk, I think, in terms of not being able to get your message across.
Right. I mean, yesterday,
hear from your constituents.
Right. I mean, yesterday, as you know, Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, you know, wrote a letter, but it basically said it is un-American to drown out dissent. And, you know, literally within minutes, it's on Fox News, you know, Nancy Pelosi says Americans, you know, people are un-American that are going to these town halls. Like, that is not, and then you got to spend a news cycle, right, disputing that, which
right.
obviously is not what she meant, you know?
No, of course not. I mean, look, at the end of the day, as I said before, we're gonna continue to listen. We're gonna read through the weeds and get a sense of where our constituency is at. I think what you have going on here, unfortunately, is taking a very critical and important issue for the American people and turning it into a political football.
Yep.
And you know, it's happened before. It's not the first time it's even happened with health care. But I do think that this time the cost of continuing is just too great.
Yep.
The cost of not doing something is too high. And I think the expectation is that something will be done. I think something will be done.
Yep.
I hope it's
well,
not
that's what the
to the point that we fail to address the most needy. We fail to address the issue at hand, which is the cost.
Right, right. Yep, absolutely. Well, Congressman, that's what the president said yesterday, that we will get this done, and I choose to remain hopeful. So thank you so much for taking time for us and fighting the
thank
good
you.
Fight.
Great to be on your show.
All right, you too, sir. There he goes. Representative Joseph Crowley of the great state of New York.
So what I get from that is that Obama, the Kenyan commie Nazi socialist, mm-hmm. wants to kill your grandma.
That's, yes.
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 If you read between the lines, I think it's clear.
Good, Jim. Really
he will outline that in his
yeah, I'm sure
big town hall meeting today in Portsmouth, New
yeah,
Hampshire.
Yeah, exactly how he will kill your
yes.
grandmother. As soon as he's finished killing Sarah Palin's child. Okay.
what a bunch of morons.
I think when egg salad left out in the sun too long, this is when the debate started to turn yesterday
yeah.
for me. But I'm like, you know, this really, because that's what I was trying to bring up to him, is I thought, they really do play to your worst instincts. Because even I've started thinking about, gee, I'm, you know, I have health insurance, I'm healthy. Like, the way they, you know what I mean? It's like plays to your worst, like,
mm-hmm.
what about you? What about you? Screw them. And but you don't, you have to really look at it and go, we all lose.
Right.
We're paying for people that are uninsured anyway. You
well,
know, I mean, it's...
According to birthers and people of this ilk, there is no we.
Yeah.
There's just their little tight circle of cranks and whack jobs.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
everyone
it's all about
else
I. Yeah. Me. For them.
But that's what I'm saying. But even if you are going to play to your worst instincts, this is not about just helping other people.
Right.
You know, this isn't about helping the needy.
Right.
Right. It's about keeping health care costs under control, because
right.
if we don't, right. then they will continue to spiral out of control and nobody will be able to afford health insurance except for the super rich.
And except for people who run insurance companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll have
exactly.
plenty of access
the super
to
rich like Stephanie will only
yes.
be able to.
Oh, please.
Right.
No, but you know what I was thinking? Because you know I have to take a very extensive physical every year. Why?
Because it's for that life insurance money.
Yes, because the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money keeps taking out more life insurance on me every
so,
year, hoping that I won't notice.
How you feeling? You feel healthy? You feel good? Okay.
That's
anyway.
I think it's time to take another
plane flight
somewhere.
Despite the jokes on the air, I'm unbelievably healthy is the point. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I don't drink hard liquor. I know I joke about the box wine. But,
you drink a lot of wine.
I exercise an hour a day.
A lot of wine.
And I can see where people would go, and I have insurance. Like, you can see where they're playing to people going, screw all these other people. I'm taking care
I'm
of myself.
Good.
And yeah.
yeah.
But
check
if I get sick,
I
get dropped, you know, from my insurance. So that's the thing. It's just it can happen to anybody.
Yep.
And it's
all right. Called health insurance, not sick insurance. Come on. It's obvious. We want to insure healthy people.
Oh, dear God.
So we can get rich. What?
All right.
I still say that even if a public option, God forbid, doesn't pass, health insurance companies should be forced to be nonprofits.
Yes,
you know, they should not be for a for-profit mm-hmm. company.
I dare say the life insurance company was hoping that all the on-air jokes were true.
Yeah.
And that I was uninsurable. However, as it turns out, I'm a really good risk thus far. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, there's only one thing to cleanse our palate of
What's
this.
That?
And that is Jim reading one of Dick Morris's his screechy rats
Boy.
To his... Yeah, he sends out a...
Someone get an oxygen tank. I might pass out during...
He sends a dickgram out.
A what?
A dickgram?
Yeah, it's a... You know, it's a Dick Morris gram that he
oh,
sends to
a... I thought it was like a bachelor party kind
yeah.
of
thing. Yeah. This one is particularly breathless.
Does he send one to Roger Hedgecock?
This will go down in the annals of...
Roger Hedge who?
Cock.
Ah.
This is like... This is like William Shatner reading the Sarah Palin speeches. Jim Ward. We'll do a Dick Morris imagining when we return on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Gene in Ithaca on healthcare. Hello, Gene.
Hey, I'm one of the underinsured you're talking about. And, well, basically, I feel like I just have house insurance because of that. But we got a bill recently from the hospital for a test I had. And on it, it had a price for the uninsured, and then at the price, because we're insured, I get 40% off. So if I was uninsured, I would have to pay another 40% for this test. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah. You know what I happened to, sicko, happened to come on last night when I was, drifting off in my wine stupor. I mean, drifting off to sleep.
Uh-huh.
But even the part of it I just saw by accident, you just...
Have you seen it?
I saw the parts of it I saw last night. Literally, like the hell, you know, the way they fearmonger the healthcare system in, for instance, France, and then you listen to the actual people that are there.
Yeah,
and you're like
American expats in Paris. Oh yeah, it's great. It's
you
all
kidding
free.
Me?
You get treated this.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
It goes around the table. How many people have had a doctor come to your house? All the hands.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 o'clock at night. Sure. Yeah, they make house calls. I mean, you're...
yeah. France is ranked as the number one healthcare system in the world, and they have a hybrid private-public system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much does that cost you? $1? Okay. Let's go to Tom in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Tom.
Hi. I'm calling to call to your attention an article. I think it was in Business Week last week. I would send you the link, but I'm in my car. The title was that health insurers have already won. And the point I want to call your attention to in that article is that there was a quote from a spokesman for a consulting group, the Lewin Group, which happens to be a subsidiary
of United Healthcare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in that quote, he mentions that, and this was the part that shocked me, he said that if healthcare reform goes through, it will, quote, kill the private insurance industry. And I thought,
good.
Oh, there's a moral issue there.
Yeah.
You know, we can't kill the industry, but we can let other people, we can let human beings die. I'm not a left wing nutcase. I work for a large corporation, and I'm very well insured.
Right. Tom, you're doing your basic duty as a citizen. Find out what the Lewin Group is.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, everyone can have a voice in this debate, but find out that that's the insurance industry.
Do some research.
You know, that doesn't take much.
Oh, then you're a crazy tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist doing research. That's nuts.
All right.
Woohoo! What a whack job.
Hey, Dick Morris rant, as imagined by Jim Ward. Actually, he'll be reading directly from his screechy letter.
Nothing imaginary about it.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, you, drunkie. Yes, that's right. I'm calling you drunkie, and there's nothing you can do about it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Alan in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Stephanie.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling about Nazi tactics that the conservatives are using.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the same thing that Hermann Göring described as lying and lying big. And people will believe it because they will just assume that you're not lying about something that crazy.
Right.
And then
the
by the time
theory.
They figure out it's a lie, they've already moved on.
You know, me. Normally I'm down with a good Nazi analogy. But I think at this point we should call a moratorium on all Nazi analogies around healthcare because... I don't know why. I officially lost my sense of humor yesterday about the health care debate.
Well,
because it is, yes, it's too important. And I get it. They started it, and yeah. But this is the problem. They want this. They want to take us all down with them. They mm-hmm. want this to devolve into the usual politics as usual. And you know,
but
the
if
story
we don't call
becomes
them on it.
Rush Limbaugh said this, and Sarah Palin said that, and not the actual. This is important. You know, I mean, it's.
Well, just point out that it's projection when they talk about Obama yeah. being a Nazi. Because yeah. of the tactics that they are using. The big lie theory, as he said.
Yep, absolutely. As imagined by Dick Morris. Julie in Seattle sends us this. I don't know why she's on Dick Morris's mailing list.
I am too.
For our entertainment pleasure, I'm thinking. Dear Steph, I want to hear Jim get winded, sputter, dry hack, and wheeze like a man who has just inhaled a few toenails loosened by a bout of energetic prostitute toe-sucking. Here's something to get him suitably riled up. Dick Morris warns in this dickgram of the many ways Obamacare will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Jim did almost have a stroke last time, so we checked to make sure health insurance is current. But this is parts of an actual letter from Dick Morris to you.
Dear GOP USA reader, I'm writing to you to ask for your help what might be the most important fight of our lives, defeating Obama's plans to destroy our healthcare system in America. Time and my breath are running out, so let me get right to the point. Barack Obama and his liberal allies were on the verge of implementing a socialist takeover 1/7 of the U.S. economy. It is extremely urgent that you contact your senators and representatives immediately. Let them know how you feel about Obama's plan. It is also important to keep reading this letter and try to keep breathing so you don't pass out on the floor.
I think we need scary fear-mongering music. I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This may be our last chance. The real problem is that Obama Democratic plan will destroy your private health care at the same time it destroys the current Medicare system. Here's why. Both the Senate and the House plans call for immediately adding almost 50 million new patients, including 12 million illegal aliens, to government medical care. They're not adding a new doctor to this. Without rationing, the program can't succeed. That's why the Obama Democratic plan intends that faceless, unaccountable bureaucrats, not doctors, will be deciding who gets what care. Canada! France! Gay, French. Here's how we'll work on the Obama plan. If you're old and near death, you probably won't have access to the full spectrum of medical services that are currently available to you. In fact, a good part of the time, you'll never even see a doctor.
What?
Huh?
Obama's plan is nothing more than a clever ruse to eventually abolish private health care and everything. Expose Obamacare. Go here now. Please help. Don't delay. Thank you. Sincerely, yours, Dick Morris.
Why do I say this? By the time he did actually fall, but by the time
he
got to the send button, he
yeah.
was. Yeah. Okay. So that's the kind of stuff just packed wall to wall with lies that's going out around the country. I don't. Here's the thing. A new poll showing Democrats losing support, but the GOP seeing no benefit. This is my point, Jim. They're just trying to take us
right.
down with them
mm-hmm.
and any hope of health care reform in this country. A national poll released Monday indicates the Democratic Party is becoming less popular with voters, but suggests Republicans haven't been able to capitalize on the Democrats' downturn because they have no ideas. All they have is lies.
Mm-hmm.
52% of the people questioned in the CNN poll say they have a favorable opinion of the Democratic Party. That's down 6 points. 41% say they have a positive view of the Republican Party, up 2 points.
Yeah.
Most Americans still have a favorable view of Democrats, but half have an unfavorable view of the GOP. By a 10-point margin, Americans say the country would be better off if Democrats controlled Congress. That's down from a 15-point advantage in April. But it's very important to note that change has not helped the Republicans at all.
What is lost in that survey is why they are disapproving of the Democrats, probably because they're not doing enough.
Yes.
Because single payer is off the table. The public option appears to be off the table. And without the public option, we got nothing.
Yeah. You know, well, I don't think it's off the table, but it may be on life support. Not sure, really, at this point is the problem. But it reminds me of, you know, my favorite. The town halls remind me of my quote from the American president. You know, the one that I ask for all the time. You know,
people want leadership, yeah. Mr. Yeah. President. In the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink the sand because they don't know the difference.
Still haven't seen that movie.
Well, get on it. Chris in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. You got a similarly screechy letter from the RNC?
Yeah, I did. I got... before I start, can I say I would like to be the official? I hit on you in high school, and now that I'm old, fat, gray, and crippled, aren't you sorry you turned me down on the Miller Show?
Wow! Seriously? Did I know you in high school?
I met you once and hit on you, and you gave me a look like, Rick Santorum would give a somebody with a dog.
Oh, yeah, she does that to everybody, though.
I apologize. I do not. I apologize, Chris. Yes, I am sorry now. Let it comfort you that I've turned out to be an old, bitter loser.
Oh, you're gorgeous. I love you.
I love you back. All right, Chris, go ahead.
The letter I got was a fundraising, first of all. Boy, did they get the wrong guy. Broke as well.
Right.
In the line, President Obama and his Pelosi Reid Democrat allies in Congress are radical leftists determined to remake America into a socialist utopia.
If only.
Yeah.
Serious, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I wrote them a very nice letter back, which is, you know,
yep.
I'm close to the point where I simply don't want to listen to anything you have to say. Please, please, please,
please stop
this nonsense.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Chris. All right.
I bet my mom got that letter, too. She's technically still a Republican, but hasn't voted with him for years.
Yeah.
So we get lots of stuff from behind enemy lines.
Yeah,
so apparently utopia is a bad thing.
My mom, as you know, is a 86-year-old Republican, George Bush-loving. But she's on Medicare, you know, and it...
She's a socialist.
Has she ever uttered the words, keep your government hands off of my Medicare?
I'm sure she would if I...
If you took her to a town hall meeting.
If I had
meeting.
The strength to even get into the discussion with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Nudie, frankly, says that...
Frankly.
The town hall attendees need to get it out of their system.
Frankly.
That's what this is about. It's a big public enema. That's what it is. Members ought to go back home, hold as many town hall meetings as you have to, let people get it out of their system, and by September we could have a genuine dialogue in this country.
And if in the process you have to lynch a few people, so be it. But just get it out of your system, frankly. And frankly, everything will be fine, frankly.
That's not what town halls are for. No. They're to have a genuine dialogue.
Yes.
They're not to get it out of your system and yell and scream like a lunatic so no one can hear anything or get an answer to their actual questions.
No, that's the actual point. That's
yelling and screaming is what talk radio is for.
Exactly. Leave the stupid screaming to us.
Yes.
Sharon in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Sharon.
Hey, I had a discussion with somebody on Facebook about this, and she actually told me if I wanted health insurance, I needed to either join the military or go to college and get a real job.
Oh.
What? It was really special.
Do you have a job?
I have a job, but
not a real one.
Pay for health insurance.
Mm. Oh, I see.
And so a public option would benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it would.
So
but,
they admit they're joining the military.
She didn't want to hear about that. She wanted me to get a real job instead.
Hmm. Ah,
but
very
apparently
nice.
The military has socialized medicine, and that's a good thing, according to this person.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. Weird.
Huh. Your argument
Bill,
just kind of fell apart.
Our trucker friend in Minnesota. Hello, Bill.
How are you today? And I have a question for you, since Clash for Clunkers or the F-22 both went triple their budgets. What's to stop health care? Because currently, last year, I paid 62.3% in taxes, federal, state income, gas, property taxes, phone taxes, everything else. There's no way the government ever keeps anything under budget.
Bill.
Yes, sir.
Cash for Clunkers did not go over budget. It was budgeted for $1 billion, and it was so successful, they put more money into it.
Exactly. And
that's not going over budget.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. I mean, they originally, I believe, had asked for $4 billion, and they were like, well, we don't really know if this will work, so let's try it at $1 billion.
It was an experiment that worked out well, so they expanded it, Bill.
Now, what's it doing to the poor people?
What's what doing to the poor people? It's a part of the stimulus package.
The fact that those vehicles have to be destroyed, therefore the low-income people, such as myself, cannot afford to buy a car because it's driving up.
There will be plenty of used cars.
There's plenty of used cars, Bill. Oh, dear God. Okay.
How can you
they
argue
can even
with...
spin something that is working unbelievably
well.
The Democrats are working against poor people. That's our trick.
There's no used cars at all available anymore in America.
God.
Okay.
I'm sick of fighting with these people. Because it's stupid.
I'm in a bit of a mood today.
Yeah.
All right, 43 minutes after the hour, we'll tell you what the president's holding a town hall today.
A big one. A big-ass town hall.
We'll tell you about that when we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sam in Asheville, North Carolina, on the healthcare debate. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you? No, I'm not going to say it.
I'm fine. You go right ahead.
I have something to say to the people, you know, when you're out or about or if you're one of these meetings and these knuckle draggers are getting up in your face, you just look at them and you say, who would Jesus let die? Who would Jesus let suffer?
Yep. John Fugel thinks on our show, Jesus never asked for a copay.
Yeah, they always say they're such strong Christians and then just turn it back on them and say, you're being kind of a hypocrite. These people have been looking at me this way for years and saying insulting things. And I just look back at them like, you didn't scare me then. You don't scare me now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Good for you, Sam. All right. The president... It's in New Hampshire today, town hall. Let me just say, they better treat the president respectfully. There better not be any of this. This has just gotten beyond the pale.
The thing is, if they do, they're going to look ridiculous.
Yeah. And he said he's expecting, a vigorous debate at this town hall. So, even if he does get shouted down, he's ready for it.
Yeah. He praised the spirited debate over health care and the predicted sensible and reasoned argument with all arguments would ultimately prevail in Congress. Boy, howdy, do I hope he's right. I blame the media, too. I'm in a state in about everybody today because the media, they latch on to these sound clips that idiots like Sarah Palin put forward, and that becomes the story for the day. Literally, a day after Sarah Palin calls the president's plan evil and he's trying to kill her child with Down syndrome. We need to really, everyone needs to calm down now. You betcha. We need to be respectful. It's like, you just, what?
I didn't start the fire. Billy Joel started the fire.
That's why, again, you're going, why do they cover it when she speaks? She adds nothing but nonsense to the public dialogue, so the story yesterday, I was saying Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer wrote actually a great piece in which they basically just said drowning out opposing views is simply un-American.
Yes, it is.
Which there is, that is absolutely true. There is nothing more un-American than that. It is not letting the other side be heard. Well, of course, on what the Fox all day long, it became, oh, they're calling real Americans un-American for expressing their views at town hall. It's like, that's exactly the opposite of what they just said. All right, the president yesterday.
I don't find Canadians particularly scary, but I guess some of the opponents of reform think that they make a good boogeyman. I think that's a mistake. And I suspect that once we get into the fall and people look at the actual legislation that's being proposed, that more sensible and reasoned arguments will emerge, and we're going to get this passed.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Like I was saying to the congressman we just spoke to, is that the problem is they're spending most of their time having to knock down things that aren't even in the bill.
Yeah.
So we don't even have a chance to discuss what is in the bill. It's there's so many lies put forward about things that aren't even in the bill. That it's
exactly the point.
That's exactly what they planned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To throw chum in the water.
Chaff.
This is what we were talking about, too, is this playing to your worst instincts and just worry about you and just screw all those other people. The White House is retooling its message amid
It's those Kenyan Nazi communists who want you to believe the healthcare system is broken.
The White House retooling its message amid polling that shows Americans, especially those who have coverage, skeptical of Democratic proposals to expand coverage to the people that are uninsured. But again, you can't say enough how we are already paying for them now. The system is broken. Mm-hmm. So this really isn't just about being a good person if you have insurance and helping out people that don't. All right, Dick Durbin yesterday.
I support a public option, but yes, I am open. Just understand that after we pass this bill, and I hope we do in the Senate, it will go to conference committee. We'll have a chance to work out all of our differences. So we'll see how this ends, but I don't want the process to be filibustered to failure.
He's open to not having
option. Yeah, and that's the thing. I think we cannot give up the fight for a strong public option.
How else is there going to be competition?
Yeah.
It
wouldn't be healthcare reform if there wasn't a public option.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't. That's the thing. I you know, the president yesterday said, you know, we're going to have to hold off on the immigration debate. You think this is emotional?
Yeah.
And it's turned out the crazies. But you know, it reminds me, like I keep saying, of that. We got nothing on immigration reform, so we gave automatic amnesty to all the millions of people that the right is screaming about are here illegally. So you know, I guess I keep asking the question: is some health care reform better than none? Is at least, you know, not being able to drop people with pre-existing conditions,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it can it be done incrementally? I was reading, well, Jim, you talked about this, that the difference with LBJ or whatever, they were starting from scratch,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so that I think doing reform is probably harder. And also, historically, LBJ had just won kind of a big landslide.
Yeah. Yeah. Against whom?
I don't recall.
Some guy in a credit card commercial, I think, involved in some way.
But I mean, Democrats were more united then. That's the problem. Is you know, yeah.
Well,
you know what? I say let's go for the immigration debate right now. That way, the right can't laser focus on one thing. They'll just be screeching about everything all
right.
at once, and their message will get muddy,
and their heads will explode.
It'll just be a Phil Spector wall of sound of
yes!
screaming of just yeah. Okay.
That's as good idea as any.
I mean, if they did pass laws prohibiting the insurance companies from dropping people because they got sick, things like that, maybe they would start going out of business saying, hey, we're not making these gigantic profits anymore. Screw you. We're going to do something else. And then you would have to have a public option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to expand Medicare because there would be nothing else.
You know, the senior political analyst at Time Magazine made a good point. A lot of people, it doesn't matter. This is getting to the point where it's not Democratic or Republican. People, this is important, and they want an actual. Mark Halperin. He said, of course we want a full debate. Of course we want people who have dissenting views from the administration and Congress to have a full hearing, but that's not what this is about. That's not the intent of most of these people. It's not the way the press is covering it. There needs to be a debate in America on whether we should have universal health care. There needs to be a debate on the president's ideas. If these protesters have ideas, great, let's hear them. But if they're just stunts to cause a disruption that gets the media tripped in every time, again, I think it's bad for the country whether you want the president's plan or not.
Right.
So that is part of it, is then the media, the story becomes, you know, these disruptive town halls. And again, that, like Jim said, that's exactly what they want. All the actual issues get, you know, clouded.
Mm-hmm.
Claire McCaskill said people are getting information that's just flat wrong. Again, if you want to have a debate, let's have a debate.
Mm-hmm.
But with the facts, that should be your first sign that they don't have a plan on their side. Because they're not debating with the facts.
They're debating with lies.
Yes. Howard Dean talked about what Sarah Palin said, that she's deliberately fabricated the charges about euthanasia. They're just totally erroneous. She just made that up, just like the Bridge to Nowhere that she supposedly didn't support. There's nothing like euthanasia in the bill. I practice medicine for a long time, and of course you have to have end-of-life discussions. The patients want that. Euthanasia is not in this bill.
Right. The talk is about hospice. The talk is about, you know, living wills, that sort of thing. It's not talking about how to die.
I was talking about old people, not kids in China.
First of all, it's optional.
Right.
It's a good thing. The insurance will pay for you to have this discussion with your doctor if you want to.
Yes.
I can see Asia from my house.
Oh, dear God.
My head hurts.
Senator
Claire
McCaskill.
It was a huge mistake for anyone to suggest that anybody who's opposed to the health care plan is manufactured. It's not manufactured now. I think both sides are organizing, but that's what we do in a democracy.
Yes, but some of them are. That's the problem. It's like, yes, there are, you know, good-hearted people on both sides that have actual questions.
But one side is
yes.
is supported by the insurance industry who are trying to protect their profits. That's
yes.
all they're doing.
Yes. Here she is on something else that's not in the bill at all.
There is nothing in the bill that mandates any kind of abortion coverage. That's just simply not true.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, how about that ad with the old people? I can't get my hip operation, but they're going to make us pay for
abortions. Planned Parenthood.
There's not a single word in any of the four bills going through Congress about abortion.
Yeah, like they're specifically on the phone going, oh, you need a new hip? No, you can't, because we just authorized an abortion this morning. Sorry.
What?
Oh, my God.
57 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Lots of breaking news this morning. Eunice Kennedy has former president, sister of former President John F. Kennedy, has died. Oh, please,
very
can
sad.
We pass health care for Ted Kennedy? Is there any chance we can do that?
Hopefully he'll be able to make the vote.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? All right.
Get a standing ovation when he does.
Yep. The president having a town hall today on health care. Senator Claire McCaskill on the...
There's so much misinformation out there. There's just a whole lot of misinformation that people have taken. And I understand the fear of the unknown is a powerful thing.
Yeah. So we will knock down... some more of the Republican lies so that you can go forth to put your friends and relatives with the truth on today's show. But I wonder where those untruths could be coming from. Maybe Sean Hannity?
Now, the Democrats, even the president is encouraging, that some of his supporters, that they infiltrate these events to create a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Are they creating a scenario where now we're going to show video later, violence erupting at some of these meetings? Are they creating that by purposefully trying to silence and intimidate regular citizens?
Am I asking an inflammatory question that I know the answer to?
Yeah, and the answer would be...
Computer says no.
Mm-hmm. And furthermore...
You're a lying sack of crap.
I got the letter. I'm on his mailing list. I got the letter. It says no such thing.
Yep.
Those are what the right-wing letters say. The point is to disrupt and to shout people down and to not have a discussion.
Of course. It's projection, once again.
Yes.
It's... John Hannity
The letter specifically says to avoid confrontation. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. It clearly are these right-wing activists are the ones that are causing
when
violence.
When they say avoid confrontation, they say cause it, because they're Nazi, commie, socialist Kenyans. Mm-hmm. All of them.
We need to have Secretary of State Hillary Clinton show up at the town halls, because she doesn't take any guff. Somebody asked a question. That was not a good idea, especially after he got all the press on the North Korean situation. Someone asked her a question about what her husband thinks about something.
No, it was a question that was lost in translation. The question was actually...
He came up to her later and said he meant to say, what does Obama think of this? But the translation was, what does Bill Clinton think of
right,
this?
The president. She got a little testy.
Ah.
Wait, you want me to tell you what my husband thinks? My husband is not the Secretary of State. I am. So you ask my opinion, I will tell you my opinion. I'm not going to be channeling my husband.
Oh, dear. Wow.
She's prickly.
Ever since she broke that elbow, I don't blame her. She's a little touchy. All right.
You want a piece of me? Come on.
I thought she was going to break her other elbow on that kid.
Yeah.
All right. There's only one thing to calm tensions now, and that is a beaver stack from Julie in Seattle. Staff, despite the waning enthusiasm for the beaver stack, you won't be able to resist this one. She was right. Just when I think, when you think you can't have one more beaver stack.
Uh-huh.
There's a story about barbecue beaver.
Oh, dear.
Indiana State Fair crowd was game. They like to eat beaver in Indiana.
While Kate prefers the legs and backstrap, all parts of the beaver are edible, including the tail.
There's a tail?
For those daring enough, the Indiana State Fair had some special treats on Saturday. Fairgoers visiting the Department of Natural Resources building got to sample turtle soup, deer sausage, and barbecued beaver.
For centuries, beaver was considered a delicacy among Native Americans and early settlers. As fewer people live off the land, it has become less popular.
Keisha Marks, 34, said, "Never in my wildest dreams did I expect to be eating this today."
Kate Krukowski-Gooding is a noted cookbook author, hunter, and trapper. She and her husband, Don, have been eating beaver for 30 years. Lucky for me, she's pulled some out of the freezer.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I hate when there's freezer burn. Okay. Keisha said, "But I'm so glad they gave people like me who aren't outdoorsy an opportunity to try this and see what Indiana has to offer." Jim, you don't have to be outdoorsy to eat beaver.
Oh.
Well, Keisha...
Usually done indoorsy.
While Keisha Marks tended to like the barbecued beaver, saying it had a smoky taste similar to pulled pork.
This is fabulous.
Is this the first time you've eaten beaver?
This is my first beaver.
Not the first time I've pulled pork, though.
Hey!
Because you see, mostly while thinking about...
Yeah. Well, Keisha liked that her daughter wasn't so sure. Brittany Marks turned up her nose until Jim... It's not for Brittany. Beaver's not for everybody.
No. That's not what I hear. What? No,
it's definitely not for everybody.
She turned up her nose until Jim Mahoney, who prepares the barbecue beaver, persuaded her to give it a try. Hmm. It was okay, but I wouldn't eat it again, she said.
First of all, the chili flavors themselves, the spice mixture, out of sight.
Oh, thank you.
But now I understand it's very, very mild. It is really, really good.
Thank you. I love it.
That's what Lindsay Lohan said.
It was okay, but it was just that one time in college. She wouldn't do it again.
No.
Mahoney, 70, of Columbus, spends late December through March trapping beaver.
Isn't that kind of late in age to be trapping and eating beaver?
He catches 15 to 20 a year, which is good for 70.
Dave Botai is a licensed trapper and animal control agent who has worked around these rodents for decades. He shows me some of the dams and lodges the beavers have built.
They're machines, I'm telling you right now. These things, boy, are really strong.
Boy, these things, boy, really strong.
You could do that with a ping pong ball. We do get all kinds of reactions, though. A lady a while ago said it was the greatest thing she has put in her mouth.
Wow.
Others don't like it, which is fine. It's all about your taste.
Hmm.
See? It's a big tent.
But what's first?
Beaver chili.
Beaver chili.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you see how you thought you didn't want any more beaver stack, and there it was.
There it was.
Delicious. Yeah. All right, let's check
best
some.
Best thing she ever put in her mouth.
Apparently.
Check some other news we don't want to lose.
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news, and now here's anchor person Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Oh, now I feel better. House Dems have set up a health care war room. House Democratic leaders have set up a health care war room to help their rank-and-file members navigate a tumultuous August in which they find themselves on the defensive in, on their signature issue.
Little army men in the war room?
What does Bayonet Guy think?
Yeah.
I should do at my town hall.
What does melted with a magnifying glass in the sun guy think?
What does lying down with a rifle guy think? The effort is being run out of Majority Leader Steny Hoyer's office, but is being manned around the clock by a rotation of leadership and key committee staff members. Although the War Room or Healthcare Hotline is primarily designed to give members the ability to get immediate health policy answers and updates from leadership offices, top Democrats are also planning to use it to help their colleagues respond effectively to political and press attacks if necessary. We have the War Room.
A meeting of the Ad Hoc Committee to Defend Healthcare Reform is called to order. In attendance, Speaker Pelosi, Majority Leader Hoyer, Majority Whip Clyburn, Carcass Vice Chair Becerra, Representatives Conyers, Kucinich, and Wiener. Motion made and seconded to change name of committee to the Big, Bad, Nasty, Fierce Democrats Who Don't Take Any Crap from Republicans GER Committee. Passed by consent. Motion made and seconded to expel Representatives Conyers, Kucinich, and Wiener for, quote, bringing in single-payer cooties. Passed 4-3. Sergeant-at-Arms instructed to remove same from chamber. These are the minutes, by the way. I'm reading them. message from President Obama read from the floor. Text as follows. Hey, I'll be over here. Stay cool. Resolution passed, praising President Obama for his strong leadership. Matter of necessary supplies to be requisitioned. Membership voted to secure extra white flags, yellow paint, and chicken poop, and adopt a surrender monkey as a mascot. Senate Majority Leader Reid invited to address strategy session on timing of appeasement, the efficacy of compromise, and how to apologize correctly to congressional Republicans. Motion made and seconded to immediately capitulate, adjourn. Motion carried unanimously. Lunch served, entree of crow with sauce of their own words, with a glass of bitter tears to wash it down. I meant to say that the meeting's from the minutes from the last meeting.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, thank you.
And finally, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McChinless is suggesting that the White House is scapegoating outspoken critics of its health care reform plans to distract from problems with the far-reaching proposals. Hmm. Yeah, that's it. To demonize citizens who are energetic about this strikes me as demonstrating a kind of weakness in your position. That strikes me as that's missing the point. We have more from Senator McChinless.
DeSantis' American is cherry pie. The protesters of the town hall meetings that could have expressed a disapproval of the socialistic, soil and green, baby-killing, grandma-snuffing, America-hating, Afro-Indonesian abortion-mandating, gay marriage-enabling, communo-fascistic health reform bill cooked up by our illegal alien-in-chief are simply expressing their opinion, as is their birthright. Not your birthright, by the way, President Hussein. I think you want to keep that in mind. Anyway, they're also performing the civic duty to rid the country of the decadent, liberal, subversive, undermenschen letter of a population by a noble struggle in the streets against the forces of division and disloyalty. For us, there are only two possibilities. Either we remain American or we come out of the thumb of the Democrat Party. This latter must not occur, even if we are small, we are a force. A well-organized group can conquer a strong enemy if you stick close together and keep bringing in new people. He will be victorious over the Jews, Democrats. Die Fahne hoch, die Reihe fest geschlossen. Rekar, y'all.
That's all for, didn't I declare a moratorium on Nazi analogies?
Oh, well. Horst Vesely, actually goes well with that beer barrel.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Drops right in.
That's all for Stand Up News. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward. Paul Durrell.
Jim Ward's apocryphal, but true. Tyler, StephanieMiller.com. Buy the album. Thank you.
All right, let's knock down just a couple of lies for the heck of it.
Okay.
Before the break. Could I have, would you like some fun facts, everybody? Sarah Palin says the health care bill would set up a death panel. Federal bureaucrats would play God, ruling on whether ailing seniors are worth enough to society to deserve life-sustaining medical care. Palin and other critics are wrong. Nothing in the legislation would carry out such a bleak vision. The provision has caused the uproar, would instead authorize Medicare to pay doctors for counseling patients about end-of-life care, if the patient wishes.
Right.
See, that would be an option.
Right.
That you don't have to.
An idea actually put forward by a Republican. Should be noted.
Yes. Does the bill advocate assisted suicide?
Confused says no.
No, it would block funds for counseling that presents suicide or assisted suicide as an option. Just FYI, so some of the lies they're telling, it's exactly the opposite of actually what is in the bill. Some of the stuff not in the bill at all. Yeah. By the way, AARP, the well-known old people haters.
Yes.
They're taking out advertisements this week that label as false the claim the legislation would empower the government to take over life and death decisions from individuals. They're for it, you see. So that would be a sign that this is something not bad for old people. Should the federal government be getting involved with living wills and end-of-life decisions? Answer, it already is. The government requires hospitals to ask adult patients if they have a living will or advance directive. If the patient doesn't have one and wants one, the hospital has to provide assistance. The mandate on hospitals was instituted, under George Bush.
Yep.
That was
they're trying to kill Grandma!
What, Bush was for that? Oh.
Supporters of the provision say the main consequence would be to formally bring doctors into a discussion. So far from taking the doctor, getting between you and your doctor, it brings the doctor into a discussion that now takes place mainly among family members and lawyers. Advisor for the AARP said when you execute a legal document with your lawyer, it ends up in your files and the lawyer's files. Unless the doctor is part of this discussion, it's unlikely that your wishes will be respected. The doctor will be the one involved in any decisions. So see, that's why it might be a good idea to bring them in. And then also, the government, the insurance will pay for it. If you want! You don't even have to have the discussion if you don't want to. Okay.
So it's fascism, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's my point. Thank you, Jim, for summing up. All right, 20 minutes after the hour. We'll knock down some more right-wing lies as we continue. I need a lie swatter as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's positively delightful.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Aaron in Minneapolis on healthcare. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, Chris, Jim, first time I've ever called. I just wanted to say this to you. You couldn't get a chick, you mook. You're too weird and sad.
What?
Okay. From Clerks 2, the mook reference.
Come on.
Never saw it.
Sorry.
All right. Anyway, I just blew it. Listen, why is it the least educated people make the most noise?
Well, You know, I don't even know if it's not educated. It's just ill-informed. You know, it's people that are just buying. Here, give me my. I'm going to shoot down another right-wing clay pigeon.
Because people who don't have the facts on hand tend to be susceptible to emotional appeals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's a very, very complicated issue.
Right.
So
yeah.
Not everybody is going to have every single fact on hand.
By the way, you know who's also not helping? Dopes like Bill O'Reilly. I heard him last night on Greta, I think, saying, things that people don't get it. They don't get it. You don't get it down to three pages, and then we'll read it. It's like, shut up. Healthcare is complicated, for God's sakes. You can't have a three-page bill.
Use smaller words. I'm a stupid guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bill O'Reilly gets to decide how many pages healthcare reform can be, and otherwise he won't read it. I recommend it to the folks. Folks don't want more than three pages. Okay, here's one of the right-wing lies. Would illegal immigrants get free healthcare benefits? No, poll! All right, that's wrong. Provisions in the House and Senate bills explicitly prohibit people who are not lawfully present in the United States from getting federal aid to help them buy health insurance in the new exchanges.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's the other thing. It's not free anyway. People have to buy health insurance, obviously.
Right.
So it's like the whole premise of that is incorrect. Would the government ration care? Poll! No! Wrong! If the legislation passes, there may be less rationing than there is now.
Yes.
Under the nation's current system, private insurers and federal government put a variety of limits on what kinds of medical procedures, imaging, and drugs they will pay for. Millions of people with pre-existing conditions face even more limits because private insurers refuse to sell them policies at all. How about that for rationing?
You're a human being. You're going to die. It's a pre-existing condition.
Michael in New York.
We'll take your money, but you want insurance?
Michael.
Nuts.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Steph. Hey, you're going to love this. So I was away on vacation, and I saw one of these right-wingers on TV at our hotel room, trying to look like you, but sure as hell this is a smart or honest issue. So they claim, pulled the Sarah Palin book, saying that the media is not being fair to me and being fair to us because we have a right to our First Amendment rights, but, you know, they're classifying us as animals. Duh, if you act like animals, you're going to be treated as that.
Yep.
And another thing is that I'm tired of the double standards here. The right-wingers are imposing, you know, threats of violence and death threats. Why the hell aren't they arrested the same way that this rapper was arrested for imposing threats on police officers in his rap song?
Yep. I hear you. I know. That's the problem. Everybody is making this about, First Amendment. That's what we want, is people to speak. We want people to speak out, express their opinions, have a meaningful debate. This is exactly the opposite. It's exactly what Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi said. There is nothing more un-American. What they said is drowning out opposing views is simply un-American.
Yep.
Drowning out the facts is how we have failed at this task for decades, and we cannot afford it this time. 28 minutes after the hour, back with more on the healthcare debate as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Everything all right with
Stephanie Miller?
She seemed, well, insane. Ah, you noticed that too. Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour.
That was Wendy Miller, I believe.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Marnie in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Marnie.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to let you know that I received the Organizing for America email encouraging me to sign up for an office visit with my representative, Jay Inslee, here in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I got online, did it immediately, and I have an appointment at 3 p.m. to talk with Representative Inslee and other constituents regarding the health care reform.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
So it's absolutely amazing. The Democrats are doing something. And I'm going to take my camera, and if there are any of these people who go in to disrupt, I'm going to be taking pictures.
Good. Good for you. All right. Come on, my fine American music. This is the actual letter by Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer that is going to be on What the Fox tonight. Or probably already was.
Yeah, it was on last night because the article appeared in USA Today yesterday.
Oh, yes. Health coverage for all was on the national agenda as early as 1912. Because, you know, we're rushing it now.
Yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes, exactly. Months after World War II came to an end in 1945, President Harry Truman called on Congress to guarantee all Americans the right to adequate medical care and protection from the economic fears of sickness. From President Lyndon Johnson to President Bill Clinton to President Obama's winning campaign on the promise of reform, there hasn't been a more debated domestic issue than the promise of affordable health care for all. And basically, they're just talking about the disruptions at the town halls. These disruptions are occurring because opponents are afraid not just of differing views, but of the facts themselves. Drowning out opposing views is simply un-American. Drowning out the facts is how we failed at this task for decades. And good for them. And then there you go. It's on Fox News. Nancy Pelosi is calling people who don't agree with the health care plan un-American.
Another great big lie.
Newt Gingrich. Defended Sarah Palin.
Frankly.
Frankly.
Communal standards historically is a very dangerous concept.
Frankly.
You're asking us to trust turning power over to the government when there are clearly people in America who believe in establishing euthanasia, including selective standards.
Frankly.
Oh.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
And frankly, you know how big the lie is by the number of times I say frankly. I'm not being frank, frankly.
Frankly.
When I say frankly. I'm a big fat liar, frankly.
Exactly. Okay, Senator Claire McCaskill on single payer.
I can tell you Congress is not going to pass a single payer plan.
Single payer plan? Single player?
Well, the political reality of it is that...
I know, and it is absolutely ridiculous, because it really is what we need, but...
Oh, you want to be a Stalinist hellhole like Canada?
Yes.
That's yes.
Yes, I do. Representative David Scott, a Democrat of Georgia, this is him facing an angry crowd. This wasn't even supposed to be about health care.
Right. Yeah, it was. He called a town hall to talk about a road that was going to be going through his community. And it was flooded with anti-healthcare reform people.
Yes, activated, brought to you by the insurance industry.
Yeah.
Fixing roads is communism!
Well, I'm not voting on any plan. First of all, I haven't voted on any bill.
Are you planning on voting on that?
I don't know.
That's an easy out. Oh. Well, do you support a government runoff? How about that?
Yes, I do. And I'm listening to my constituents. Okay? These are people who live in the 13th congressional district who vote in this district. That's who I've got to respond to. Okay? Right. All right. That's everybody with different opinions. So what you've got to understand is those of you who are here who have taken and came and hijacked this event that we're dealing with here.
Legit.
This is not a healthcare event. You paid the choice to come here.
I'm in a district. I'm in a district. I'm Spartacus.
Exactly.
Right. The hell you are. You were bust in.
Howard Dean talking about Sarah Palin's latest lies on health care.
They're about euthanasia. They're just totally erroneous. She just made that up. Just like the bridge to nowhere she supposedly didn't support. There's nothing like euthanasia in the bill. Look, I've practiced medicine for a long time. And, of course, you have to have end-of-life discussions. The patients want that. There's nothing. Euthanasia is not in this bill.
End-of-life discussions. That's euthanasia. You want to kill Grandma. You're a Kenyan.
Mary in San Francisco.
Hi. I think that...
And no one looks more Kenyan than Newt Gingrich. Don't you agree, Mary?
Oh, yeah. I think the main problem with this is that the average American doesn't see the benefit of everyone having health care. They're all in favor of them having coverage, but they don't give a rat's whether anybody else does. And so I was thinking of this commercial they could do where they just show a couple of women and some other people at a bus stop, say, in San Francisco, commuting, obvious, you know, well-dressed business people. And one of them looks obviously very ill and has spots and is coughing horribly and everything.
Right.
And the tagline could be, don't you wish everyone had health insurance?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because the point is that it isn't some kind of great, you know, lollipops for everyone just because, but because if I have health insurance and I'm protecting myself, but my checker gives me tuberculosis,
right.
You know, that's kind of a problem for me.
Yeah.
And so maybe we need to just say, hello, people, let's get it back to me. It's all about me. And I need to be protected, and if to protect me, I need to have you protected, I'm okay with that. And I think that's kind of the issue, is that people have lost track of why we all need health care.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Well said, Mary. That's what I was trying to say earlier.
But Democrats don't do fear-mongering well. They want to present all the facts in a very unemotional, rational way, and so that you can determine for yourself whether the blah, blah, blah. You need emotional impact.
Well, look, human beings, like we all have self-interest, and that's what I was saying earlier. That, you know, even to the most liberal of us, that stuff can start to sink in. You start to go, wait a minute, I'm really healthy. I take good care of myself. I have health insurance. Why do I, if you don't.
If your nanny has TV, your kids do, and so do you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but the point is, again, like she was just saying, it's not just because it's, we're trying to help out other people.
It's a self-interest.
We are paying for them anyway.
Right.
Okay.
There is already a really high health care tax on all Americans. It's from people going to emergency rooms, using them as your primary physician.
Exactly. And
polling shows challenges in convincing most Americans that it is urgent to act this year, as Obama argues there's less urgency among those who have insurance and whose health is excellent or good, groups that make up the majority of those polled. And I'm reading that today, and I'm going, that's me.
Yeah.
So, I was trying to think of it as people like that might go, wait a minute, I take care of myself, I have insurance, but that's the problem.
But what if someone at the gym in your spinning class has TB?
Well, what have you heard?
They drop dead in about 30 seconds.
Class if they did, because they're breathing so hard.
It's more likely that Chris and my B-celebrity gym, that Lindsay Lohan will, fall off her spinning bike and crush me. And although, thank God, she's not heavy enough to actually crush me. Yeah, that's her falling. Okay.
Yeah. What's she wearing?
Public opinion on the issue is complex in ways that defy a Republican-Democratic divide. Seniors, by far the most resistant to the idea of changing the current system, and opening for opponents who have focused on proposed cuts in Medicare spending and accusations about planning for end-of-life care. That's the difference. They're taking the most, easily frightened among us, and that's where they're focusing, all the fear-mongering. All right. Senator Mitch McChinless on the...
To demonize citizens who are, who are energetic about this strikes me as demonstrating a kind of weakness in your position. In other words, you want to change the subject. And rather talk about the $500 billion in Medicare cuts, let's talk about somebody at some town meeting who misbehaved. It strikes me that's missing the point.
Yeah, somebody somewhere that just spontaneously misbehaved like a child. Not like somebody that was activated by some right-wing whack group funded by the health insurance industry. Yes. All right, let's go to Ryan in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Hello.
I would like to say that I've been calling into right-wing talk shows lately, Glenn Beck, John Gibson, so on, and asking them to explain to me how it is that when George Bush was president, anyone that spoke out against him was labeled un-American, unpatriotic, but now people who speak out against Obama, they're the ones that are patriotic. It seems to me that Republicans just want to be right no matter which side of the argument they're on.
Yes.
They want it both ways.
Yes, very good. You're the smartest point class. All right, 42 minutes after the hour. Huh? Republicans hypocritical?
No, you don't say.
Huh? 42 minutes after the hour. More on the healthcare debate and... sadly, some thought from Bill O'Reilly as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number toll free from anywhere. Adam in Toronto, Canada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Adam.
Hi, I hate to be the foreigner who's butting in on your business, but
that's all
right.
Quick
point.
Please, but away.
I had to have non-life-threatening surgery 2 months ago. In between the doctor telling me I needed it and the surgery was a week. So anything you hear about waiting times in Canada is garbage.
Yep, I know. And yet they keep saying it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Number two, the people of Canada understand that doctors are human beings and therefore make mistakes. It is almost impossible, unless you severely injure a child or kill somebody, to sue a doctor in Canada. This allows doctors to concentrate on you instead of worrying about how they're going to pay their insurance bill.
Right. Number, right. And order 1,000 unnecessary tests to cover themselves, right?
Right. And number three, single-payer health care is not free. Of course, we pay for it in taxes.
Right.
The difference is if you're paying $500 a month to a private company now for your insurance and $500 in taxes, what you are buying is your peace of mind. I am 44 years old. I've never had a discussion with anybody in Canada about worrying about their health care. If you don't understand that the $500 a month for your peace of mind is worth it, then you guys are crazy. This is your opportunity as Americans to join the rest of the world and kind of grasp onto this. And if you lose it now, I don't know what you're thinking. And that's my little foreigner's 2 cents worth. Sorry to butt in, but.
Oh, that's all right.
So
thank
Canada,
you.
Canada isn't a scary Stalinist hellhole?
Yeah, he was so
he's
polite.
Making really, really good points, trying to save.
save us from ourselves.
The future of healthcare in America. Sorry about that.
I
didn't mean to butt in.
Been to Toronto and Vancouver.
He was so Canadian polite.
Sorry to butt in.
Yeah.
That's how you tell a Canadian from an American. The American steps in the Canadian's toe and he apologizes.
Yeah, right? The Canadian apologizes.
Right.
Uh-huh. You almost could picture him just like poking his head in for a second.
Yeah.
Oh, like one of those little doors and laughing.
You. Right.
Sorry about that.
Sorry to
Slam.
Bother you.
I'll just go sit on the Chesterfield.
Your health care is a load of crap, eh? Sorry I was so rude.
Cynthia in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Can you imagine Canadian town halls?
Oh, Lord.
I don't know. Excuse I'll be me. Like those polite chipmunks. You first. No, you.
Is it my turn to speak? Oh, thank you very much.
Cynthia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Seth.
Hi.
I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the war I got into on Facebook yesterday, trying to have a little conversation about health care. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you want to know about it, but my story is, and I did this to my friend, I said that I pay for Cadillac coverage, and I have two children with autism, and I have to pay out-of-pocket $110 an hour for the therapies that they need,
mm-hmm.
and so that's about 20 hours a week. And then at school, they only get 30 minutes of speech when they need about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, look, nobody wants to pay taxes for health care. Nobody wants to pay taxes to help out with services that they could get through the school system. So me paying Cadillac prices for my
Can I stop you for 1 second? Here's the one disconnect. I don't even get that debate. That you're not going to be paying anywhere near as much in taxes for all of us to have health care you're paying now,
right?
For health insurance, you know.
And so, but basically, it deteriorated into all these people saying, defriend her. It's like being stoned. And so I told him, I said, you know, you just need to be very thankful that you have nothing wrong with your kids,
right.
And that whether or not you are approved of health care, you're going to get the cost somewhere.
Right. Well, that's the thing I don't get is these polling going, oh, people that have health insurance, they like it just fine. It's almost like we're beaten wives. Like, this is the best we know, so we're like, okay, I just don't want to lose that. That's what I have, you know. And like I say, if you watch Sicko, you look in France or this guy that just called from Canada, do you really think it's okay the amount we pay for what we get? You know,
I agree. That guy that just called from Canada almost brought tears to my eyes, mm-hmm. because you feel like, especially down here in the South, I really feel like a missionary. And I really just thought I was having a little conversation. And after the stoning, I lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm nervous.
No, that's all right.
But the it turned very personal, I guess because I was making too much sense, and he said that my children under the current plan would be labeled unproductive and institutionalized.
God.
And it just really, I'm like, okay, you don't know me. You obviously don't know anything about autism. And you obviously haven't dealt with insurance in the last, I don't know, 30 years.
Right. Well, this is what happens. I think, you know, when the tone from the leaders is so, you know, the leaders of the Republican Party is so nasty, it's not surprising, is it? This is the tone that people are talking to each other at mm-hmm. town halls, online. We had someone call earlier that someone someone told her to get a real job because, you know, because she doesn't have insurance. Like, yes, right. Your fault. The healthcare system's broken in America.
Yeah.
You know?
There have been a lot of Facebook wars going on over this. I was on Facebook yesterday, and a friend of mine jumped in chat and said, take a look at my status, and can you jump into the conversation that's going on there? Because I'm getting pilloried over here. So, you know, I jumped in and said, hey, you know, you're going to have the public option. You can still keep your, you know.
Right.
I just told them all the talking points, and
right.
it shut everybody up. But, you know, friends are becoming enemies because of this healthcare debate.
No, they're not. Shut up. You're an idiot.
It's getting to be really scary out there, like a civil war.
You know who is really shocked and befuddled by the tone of the debate is Sarah Palin.
Oh, my
She doesn't know
God.
Who could be inflaming things to such a degree.
Oh, if people are inflaming, it must be Palin around with terrorists, you betcha. Also, too.
Literally, a day after she says the president's plan is evil.
Yeah.
And he would have a death panel that would kill her Down syndrome child. She says, we must stick to a discussion of the issues and not get sidetracked by tactics that could be accused of leading to intimidation or harassment.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just like she has no idea why when she says Senator Obama at the time, was palling around with terrorists, why someone would yell kill him in the crowd. Such tactics diminish our nation's civil discourse.
Oh, shut up.
Please. Which we need now more than ever because the fine print and blah, 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 nationalized health care, blah.
Whatever.
Unbelievable.
Boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure who I hate more, her or the people who actually believe what she has to say.
Diametrically
opposed to what she said the day before.
Or the media. It's like catnip whenever she talks. Then that's the whole news cycle is what Sarah Palin said.
What does Sarah think?
Somebody said yesterday, I blame John McCain for injecting her into the national debate. Yeah. Who would care what some dopey ex-governor of Alaska thinks if John McCain hadn't, put her on the national stage?
I'm not a quitter. I just quit being a quitter. I was a quitter, not anymore.
Mm. Okay, could I have some fine American music? Stephen Pearlstein, a lot of people, again, as I was saying this last poll, it's becoming not really Republican or Democratic. People really care about this issue. And he writes, as a columnist who regularly dishes out sharp criticism, I try not to question the motives of people with whom I don't agree. Today I'm going to step over that line. The recent attacks by Republican leaders and their ideological fellow travelers on the effort to reform the healthcare system have been so misleading, so disingenuous, they can only spring from a cynical effort to gain partisan political advantage. By poisoning the political well, they've given up any pretense of being the loyal opposition. They become political terrorists, willing to say or do anything to prevent the country from reaching a consensus on one of its most serious domestic problems. There are lots of valid criticisms that can be made about the health reform plans moving through Congress. I've made a few myself. But there's no credible way to look at what has been proposed by the president or any congressional committee and conclude that these will result in a government takeover of the health care system. That is a flat-out lie whose only purpose is to scare the public and stop political conversation. Under any plan likely to emerge from Congress, the vast majority of Americans who are not old or poor will continue to buy health insurance from private companies, continue to get their health care from doctors in private practice, and continue to be treated at privately owned hospitals. He goes on to say, the probability that a public-run insurance plan is about to drive every private insurer out of business, the Republican nightmare scenario, is approximately zero. By now, you've probably already heard healthcare reform will cost taxpayers at least $1 trillion. Another lie. First of all, that's not a trillion every year, as most people assume. It's a trillion over 10 years. Even that, however, grossly overstates the net cost to the government of providing universal coverage. Other parts of the reform plan would result in offsetting savings. The Republican lies about the economics of health reform are also heavily laced with the hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
While holding themselves out as paragons of fiscal rectitude, Republicans grandstand about just about every idea to reduce the amount of health care people consume or the prices paid to health care providers. The only two ways I can think of to credibly bring health spending under control. By the same wacko logic, a proposal that Medicare pay for counseling and end-of-life care is transformed into a secret plan for mass euthanasia of the elderly. Government negotiations on drug prices, the end of medical innovation as we know it, according to the GOP's Dr. No. Reduce Medicare payments to overpriced specialists in inefficient hospitals, the first step on the slippery slope toward rationing. It's just, that's the thing. Every idea that would actually fix it, they're against. 57 minutes after the hour, right back with Tinsel Talk and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's
The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Joseph Crowley, Democrat of the great state of New York, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The president giving a town hall on health care today. Sean Hannity, just helping the civil discourse in the country.
The Democrats have compared those of us who oppose health care. They've called us brown shirts, crazed mobsters that are manufactured by the RNC. Now they're accusing people of being un-American, all in an effort to shut down dissent.
No.
Lies.
Nancy Pelosi said the exact
lies
opposite, that
lies.
Drowning out dissent is un-American.
Yes, and it is.
And it's those, you know, people who are holding up this SS and swastika signs who are accusing Obama of being a Nazi.
Thank you. Which I think our point is that essentially it is.
Springtime for
Sean Hannity.
You can't be a liberal and a Nazi at the same time, let alone a black liberal Nazi. I mean, it's complete nonsense.
Unless you're Kenyan.
My God, you're dumb.
Okay. The president, of course, in Mexico, he was talking about the swine flu.
We resolved to continue taking all necessary preparations and precautions to prepare for the upcoming flu season and protect the health of our people. And this challenge transcends borders, and so must our response.
Hey, by the way...
somebody wants to murder grandma! Clearly.
That's his plan, with swine flu.
Swine flu, yes.
Hey, by the way, all y'alls, swine flu reportedly will be making a comeback this flu season, so it might be a good idea for us to have health care of some sort in this country, some sort of way to... All right, the president talking about the fact that immigration reform, gee, that may have to wait. You think this debate's hysterical?
We have a broken immigration system. Nobody denies it. It's causing ongoing tensions inside the United States. It's not fair and it's not right, and we're going to change it. Now, I've got a lot on my plate, and it's very important for us to sequence these big initiatives in a way where they don't all just crash at the same time.
By the by, doesn't this remind you, this is what I'm afraid of. You know, remember all the screaming over immigration reform, and guess what? We got nothing. Yep. We got no immigration reform. Mm-hmm. We have exactly the same number of illegals with amnesty. Then that's what they want with the health care system. They want the status quo. Well, as if that's not broken. I mean, as if you can't even have a starting point that the health care system is broken. Unbelievable. Jim, I have a theme for Guess the Quote. Who said health reform is a test of whether this country can function once again as a civil society, whether we can trust ourselves to embrace the big important changes that require everyone to give up something in order to make everyone better off? Who said that?
Orly Taitz.
No. Stephen Pearlstein, the columnist I was quoting just a moment.
That would be different then.
Jim, who said Republican leaders are eager to see us fail that test? We need to show them that no matter how many lies they tell or how many scare tactics they concoct, Americans will come together and get this done. If health reform is to be anyone's Waterloo, let it be theirs. Who said that?
Yakov Smirnov, what a country!
No.
Stephen Pearlstein, columnist. All right. Let's. You know what? Because
members
we're so
of Pearl Jam.
That would have been no. Okay. There are no more quotes. I apologize. All right. You know, here's the thing. The only thing to cleanse the bitter taste of the town halls from my mouth, Chris.
What?
Fun stack.
Yay!
Just actually, this is more of a public service on this breaking news story. A lot of people sent this to me. The woman that had Keith tattooed on her crotch and cocaine in her coochie. That was not me.
Computer says no.
Oh, I could have sworn it was you.
No, it was not me.
You do have Keith tattooed on your crotch.
Well, yes, but I do not have cocaine in my coochie, as far as I know. A woman was pulled over in her 1987 Chevrolet truck. She had a bunch of tattoos, including Keith on her crotch area. I wonder if Keith has anything on his crotch area.
Stephanie Miller.
Maybe.
Oh, no.
She told the police that she had cocaine in her coochie.
Did she use the word coochie?
No, don't speak. Don't speak.
She might have kept that to herself. But,
well, of course, Keith Olbermann's tattoo sometimes reads... And it becomes Stephanie Miller under certain conditions.
Okay. Here's some more... Here's some more breaking news. There's a study out. Women bosses are more likely to face sexual harassment at work than females who are not holding supervisory. I know it.
Hey, Jiggles.
Yeah, what?
Grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Yeah, but you encourage it.
You do.
I do.
You ask for it.
Almost half the women supervisors surveyed reported sexual harassment compared to a third of the women not in, in the top position. Jim doesn't care what position I'm in. He really doesn't. He's easy like that. Male coworkers seem to be using harassment as an equalizer against women in power. Or, in your case, it's kind of a pity for me. But way, I appreciate it. No, I do. I ask for it. You get fired if you don't sexually harass me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it could be they feel they're immune from... It's not harassment if you're doing it to a superior. It's harassment if you're...
Oh.
See.
Yeah. Okay, you couldn't possibly sexually harass me as much as I sexually harass you two. So good luck. Good luck. Catch up, won't you? All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Are you ready for the...
Oh, my God.
Headline, Heather Mills thinks she's the next Gandhi.
Right. Oh, my God.
She does... Huh? What?
The the former wife of Sir Paul McCartney identifies with the Indian Human Rights Campaigner as well as Malcolm X and Martin Luther King because of the persecution they've all endured in their bid to tell the truth.
You've got to be kidding me.
She said there were people who went through controversy to put the truth forward, and they weren't afraid to fight, and I can relate to that completely. Did Sir Paul have some thoughts? Oh, you betcha.
So the unidex anti-money Village Park big girl's blouse feels she's been unfairly treated in some way. Poor girl. Poor put-upon, persecuted little trollop. Fancies herself a modern-day Gandhi, who rescued his country from imperialism, or Martin Luther King, who fought to keep his people from being treated like second-class citizens, or Malcolm X, who vowed to get his due by any means necessary. That sounds more like her, actually. He used any means to get her favourite little gold digger brain, could imagine, to get her mitts and me coppers, me bran mash, me ackers. In actual fact, she's nothing at all to do with that lot. Hang on. It occurs to me the one thing that those three blokes have in common is that they were all assassinated. Interesting. That's all that actually occurs to me. Just saying. Right, on your bike, you berk.
And finally, a dog flies business class for $32,000.
You'd do that.
I would do that.
Yeah.
If I had that.
You do have that. You're the star of an internationally famous radio show.
Sure. I wonder if they would accept cocaine in my coochie instead. An Israeli woman paid $32,000 to allow her dog to travel in business class with her from Paris to Tel Aviv.
That sounds like you.
Yeah, it totally does.
I totally would not fly with my dogs in cargo. Rivka is her name. She paid for an entire compartment to carry her and her boxer, Archuk. And the vet on the 4-hour flight. She said, he is my child, not a dog, and he deserves the best. You go, sister.
Fight. It ain't a man's world.
I should point out before this a bit that Orly Taitz has a joint U.S. and Israeli citizenship.
That's right.
In fact, she did that interview with David Schuster from Tel Aviv.
Oh, from Tel Aviv. Okay. Who do we have?
Tel Aviv.
We have the woman.
Oh,
actually.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You do not understand. My little dog, Orchuk, is not dog. He is my baby. No, literally, Orchuk is my baby. I have birth certificate. Okay. How much time do I have? Because I had bad experience with Air France. They thought I was crazy. If you show some integrity as flight attendant, you would let me finish. The only ones who are crazy are the brown shirts who are listening to Obama's lies. Obama is not from Hawaii. He is from the Mars. Okay. All I hear is dumb insults from you people. Obama is one who should ride in cargo hold. 85% of passengers believe Obama is from the Mars and cannot be president. His mother is from Venus and his father was from Neptune. They didn't want to pay immigration attorney. Okay, let me finish. Okay, I'm not crazy crank. Let me answer, and people like you. Okay, now you have upset Orchuk. Now he has pooped in his cage. Are you happy? You will be done. I answered all the questions. Why do you shoot me a tranquilizer, Ralph? You people, let me finish. I answered all the... You let me... Okay.
That's all for Tinsel Talk.
I think she was the crazy lady on the flight to Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv.
I'm here.
Tel Aviv.
Yeah. Tinsel Talk's over. Okay, if you'd like more Jim Ward, fall to roll.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. Check out the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. There's a title ad. Buy the album, why don't you? Thank you.
All right. I actually am on more of a budget, but you remember what I did. You remember when I moved back here to L.A.
You rented an RV.
And a driver.
You didn't tell me you rented a driver.
Well, it was a friend of a friend. It was a friend's brother.
It's good that she didn't drive the RV.
Oh, please, trust me. Because at that time I had three giant dogs. And so there's no way I was flying them cargo. But it was really a rundown, leaky. I remember it was leaking on me the whole time. The air conditioning or something on the roof. I don't know. It was like the Beverly Hillbillies car when we got here.
I
paid for a giant, like, air-conditioned room for my dogs to move across the country in.
I can't imagine you enjoying a cross-country trip.
No. Oh, God, I had a permanent headache the whole time.
Yeah.
But it's mama's baby. She's mama's baby.
Yeah, you're a bit of a princess that way. You would not enjoy.
Oh.
There's a pee under this mattress! Yes. Seriously. God, thank God I wasn't with you on that trip.
What is the thread count on these sheets?
I was a little cranky. Yeah. Okay. Madonna's boy toy wants to be a DJ. Oh, Chris, that's how you got your job. You remember, you used to be my boy toy model guy, remember?
Uh-huh.
And that's how, but I fulfilled your dream.
You used
to
force me to wear tight shirts.
I did used to say that to you.
You did.
Your job is just wear something tight and show up on time for mama.
Uh-huh.
Okay, in this economy, how's about this? Only Prince can rent a home for $150,000 a month and leave behind a security deposit. He doesn't seem to care. That's what I would say if they didn't give me my security back. He moved out of a home he rented in Beverly Hills. He left behind a $300,000 security deposit.
Wow.
I
could use that.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey. All right. And the breaking, by the way, get Michael Jackson ready because is different than the Shaman. That's entirely different. Or Ihi.
Yeah.
The breaking news this morning. Coroner's investigators have completed their probe into the death of Michael Jackson, but are not releasing the autopsy results yet.
Yeah. That says to me there's a little bit of malfeasance going on.
Yeah, a little down your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The L.A. County's coroner's office said that police investigators requested the facts about what killed him remained under security hold while detectives investigate the events leading up to his death.
Hmm.
Okay. All right. 20 minutes after the hour. Oh, goodness. More right-wing claptrap about what's going on at the town halls on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word. What a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Victor in Albuquerque on the healthcare town halls. Hey, Vic, welcome. Hello, Victor.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
The current debate against this healthcare issue is pretty evident, and it boils down to attitude. The attitude is that the liberals need to grow a set. Here it is.
Yep.
We like capitalism just like the conservatives. But the difference is when we get all that we want, we'll turn around and say, I'm going to help you. The conservatives, however, they get all they want and they don't care about anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Take this town hall meeting that's currently going underway in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. It's the same. It reminds me of Katrina. The same type people that said, look, just give them some bottled water, make them all go to a hotel room. We don't want to help them out. What you saw in Katrina is the same as what you're seeing now.
Mm-hmm.
These people down there, You had people like Brad Pitt, Harry Connick Jr. They actually put their hands down there and helped those people. While conversely, you had Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity talking about, where are we going to provide a concert? We're gonna provide money, and that's the difference.
Yep, absolutely. Yes. Well, that's what I keep saying. It's just they play to people's worst selfish interests, you know. But I've been saying all morning. I mean, the fact of it is, it doesn't matter if you're one of the lucky ones, if you're healthy and you have insurance. We are paying for the uninsured anyway.
Right.
This isn't even about being altruistic and helping someone else.
And we're more pro-capitalist than they are because we're saying we should have competition with
the private
insurers.
Thank you.
Apparently they don't like that much. They don't like communism.
Bill.
You know what I mean.
Gambling Bill Bennett on the Situation Room.
What's happening is that in these town hall meetings, a lot of Americans, not Republicans, not conservatives, a lot of elderly people, people from all political stripes are coming together and they're asking tough questions. And the interesting thing is a lot of liberals and Democrats are saying, how dare you be like this?
Yeah.
I mean, this is unbelievable given what Democrats and liberals have done to over 8 years during the Bush administration.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. The Democrats are dying to answer questions if they could hear.
Right.
Because we have the facts on our side. They would like to have the conversation. The sole purpose of these people is to disrupt.
Right. A conversation implies people talking and listening, taking turns.
Is that what a conversation is?
Speaking of just name-calling and things that are unhelpful, our friend Roger Hedgehog, the...
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgecock.
Oh, pardon me. The
yes.
Radio host Roger Hedgecock.
Yes.
He made a little joke about Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi Botox is the body politic. Nancy has spent the last week injecting American politics with one poisonous shot after another of rhetorical Botox to firm up support and eliminate wrinkles of opposition to the increasingly unpopular Obama health insurance reform.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's thank you. Thank you, Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgecock.
Oh, pardon me. I always get that wrong. And I've done a panel with him, so you'd think I would remember that.
You
I
just
want
to say
that.
Cock.
Pardon me? Okay. Bill O'Reilly on the...
The Factor also gives voice to both sides, something you will never get on NBC News. So fair-minded Americans know our reporting is honest, while much of the other TV news media is simply in the tank for the president.
Sure, by honest, he means you don't report that those people are sent there by people backed by the insurance industry.
Right. You get the views of the right and the far right.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's balanced, fair and balanced.
He speaks for the folks.
So
you know.
Here we have pictures of regular folks going out right on the heels of the Tea Parties, basically saying, look, I don't understand
folks.
The plan. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the federal government can implement the plan. Mm-hmm. I'm angry that it's being rammed down my throat.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Fox News is reporting this accurately. Where on the other networks, they're mocking these people, particularly NBC, which is the worst. They mock them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Americans, even if you favor Obamacare, don't want these people mocked.
God.
Wow. Bill O'Reilly, by the way, we can't have health care that's more than 3 pages. He's made his demand last night.
I don't get it. Too many big words.
28 minutes after the hour. Representative Joe Crowley of the great state of New York next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at you.
Stephanie Miller.
Aren't you just one big slice of fancy?
Well, I'm a professional.
I'm a professional slice of fancy.
Oh, and a public Idaho option.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. The president getting ready for a town hall today in New Hampshire. People like Sean Hannity really helping the tenor of the debate.
Well, I've never witnessed what I was just speaking with Dick Morris about, you know, calling the American people veterans and old ladies and people in wheelchair, saying that this is an organized mob. Nancy Pelosi, you know, saying it's un-American, and people bringing swastikas, the president telling people to shut up. We've had comparisons to Nazis, Tim McVeigh, political terrorism. These are congressmen and senators saying all of this. Why would they attack the American people, and what do they think the outcome's going to be?
God, you lying
That's
sack
right.
of crap.
That's right.
You're either
That's
a moron
right.
or a liar. No, you're both. I take it back.
Maybe the president will clarify today whether he is more anxious to kill Sarah Palin's Down syndrome child or some tell some guy in a wheelchair to shut up. What? Oh, my God.
Oh, my
and,
God.
You know, the Fox bots will lap it
up.
Wow.
If only there was someone else from New York other than Sean Hannity that might inject a little reason into the debate. Why, who is it, Jim?
Well, what are the odds? In the great state of New York, it's Representative Joseph Crowley, who is not a soccer player as far as I know.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be with you.
Yeah, nice to be with you, too. You know, you're doing something, I think, very smart and creative in these, you know, sort of lynch mob mentality of these town halls that are going on today. You have an interactive healthcare forum on your website. It's 24/7, right?
Yeah, it is. In fact, we're trying to use every meeting we possibly can to get information out to our constituency and to the broader constituency well. I mean, you don't have to be a constituent of mine to get on my website. And at the same time, get the feedback and be able to kind of read through, you know, some of the messaging that's going out there. I know very well, Stephanie, that people don't necessarily like every aspect of what we're doing.
Right.
But what we've seen so far, and by the way, I'm not afraid to even confront people on that measure.
Right.
What I think is wrong is when they shut down a discussion, when they shut down town hall meetings. I've made the point that town hall meetings have been a uniquely American experience. They could date back prior to the Revolutionary War and the creation of America, the United States. And it's, you know, an opportunity for people to have that give and take. But and I, again, have no problem with people expressing themselves and, you know, giving it their all and even challenging respectfully their member of Congress. But when they disrupt or stop the meetings from taking place and then, you know, take it to the next level where they're, like, you know, actually burning people in effigy or, you know, having members' names on tombstones, et cetera, you know, what's the next step after that? And I think that's what people are missing. And it's the targeting of these events. This is not happening in every single congressional district. It's happening in, you know, the most vulnerable Democratic districts where Democrats don't have a very large margin, where the seats have been won, you know, very recently from Republicans. So really, it is a very orchestrated, and I think people have to see that.
Well, you know, and you make some really good points on your website. You say, you know, most people understand affordable health care for all, far from being a luxury, is actually an urgent necessity, more important, a moral obligation. So, I mean, I think that, you know, as this is really shaping up this August, Congressman, that's what I keep thinking. This really is not just a, you know, it is the moral issue of our time, and it is important. And that's why, you know, we can't just have these politics as usual. People really do have meaningful questions. I have questions that need to get answered. You know, this is a really important debate that, you're right, the point of this is just to shut these meetings down.
Well, you know, the points that I've been focusing on have been obviously the cost of delivery health care, maintaining choice, making sure that people have access even to the plan they have right now, and care and coverage. And, you know, because you lose your job doesn't mean you should lose your health care coverage. And that's part of the plan that we have, to make sure that if you do somehow lose your job, that you're not going to be forced to lose your health care coverage.
Right.
I think that's, you know, my wife is a nurse. I hear about the horror stories. You know, my wife works in a hospital. I know how hospitals are being used for primary care, health care delivery, when that's not what they're meant for.
Mm-hmm.
They're meant for catastrophic coverage. They're meant for trauma. But emergency rooms, especially in my district in Queens, I go to Elmhurst General, and it's just packed with people looking for primary care. If they have the flu, if they don't feel good, if they have a headache for a week, you know, that kind of thing. And that simply is costing us and the system too much money.
Congressman, that's the point that I've been thinking of in the last couple of days, because, you know, you look at some of these polls, and, I think the right-wing noise machine has worked to the extent that people are confused and they're evenly split on this. And I have to say, I was thinking about this personally, because I thought the Republicans, they do tend to play to your worst instincts. It's all about, like, me. And I think they play to people going, why should I pay to insure all those other people that aren't, you know? But I think you're trying to explain why it's going to cost us money anyway. Can you explain?
Yeah, in fact, they're paying for it now.
Right.
That's the hardest thing for me to get through to people. I said, if you have health care coverage, you're paying for the uninsured. In my district, I have...
But explain why, because that's the big divide we're seeing, is that people that have insurance are against this.
Okay.
Not obviously entirely, but more so.
And it's pretty commonsensical. I think being from New York, you get it pretty quickly. We have in New York City, we have the uninsured, the underinsured, people don't have enough coverage, and then we have the uninsurable, people who... don't have status here in the United States to have anything legally, undocumented, who, you know, throughout our city. When they get sick, and they cannot afford a primary, they can't afford, they have no coverage, they can't go to a primary care physician, their only option is to go to the emergency room, where the cost of delivery of that care is tenfold, 10 times the cost it would be if they had a primary care physician. And that cost is picked up by everyone who has insurance today. The federal government pays money to hospitals, known as DSH payments, disproportionate share. I think it's DSH, I think is what it stands for, exactly what the initials stand for, but it's a disproportionate share. In other words, we make up to those hospitals the shortfall they have for treating the uninsured. That, you know, what we're trying to do is reduce that. We may not be able to eliminate entirely because even under the best of plans, not everyone, you know, if they're not a documented citizen, they may not have access to this. And if they get sick, they need to go somewhere. But it would help reduce it tremendously, and the cost, the burden that is on everyone else will be reduced tremendously.
Right. You make another good point at the end of your website here. Obama's plan is not perfect. Obviously, some of us on the left criticize parts of it. But contrary to the malicious propaganda of its enemies, it is fully paid for, will sustain costs for consumers, expand coverage, and ensure that people have their choice of doctors. The enemies of health care are powerful and ruthless. For reform to happen, we must all inform ourselves and get involved. Call Congress today, urge your representative to pass health care. But I think that the most important thing you said is the first part of that, inform yourself.
Yeah.
Because, because I'm telling you, once in a while I fall for something the right wing says. I'm like, really? Is that in the bill? And then you do the modicum of research and go, oh, no, that's not in the bill.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, doing nothing is just not an option anymore. We just can't simply keep putting this off. The costs are just getting so high, we're going to bankrupt ourselves. I do think that you're right. I mean, it's so easy to fall into that trap. I'll give you one great example. I was at the White House with a meeting with the president, and I brought up the subject of the president about him needing to focus on the American people and talk about end of life, not ending life, not saying to people,
right,
you must die after this day. No, it's about talking to people rationally about having a directive. Only 1 in 5 people in this country have a directive to tell their family or tell their doctors what they would like to have happen near the end of life. And that has a tremendous cost to us. Not saying we shouldn't do everything to keep everyone alive if that's what they want to do.
Right. But that's Congressman, what is so just wrong and disingenuous of the right, like the Sarah Palins of the world, to call that a death panel, or the government's going to decide who lives or dies, and the president's plan is evil. And then she comes out tomorrow and says, we really need to be civil at these town halls. It's like the president's trying to kill you.
Civil.
But be civil
so
about it.
No.
Yeah.
She was being civil.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing is,
she's being civil.
Right. We all make jokes about the Sarah Palins, but it's like, this really is getting not funny anymore, isn't it? I mean, this really is too important to like I say, that's the out and out lies that are being put forward. It takes time and energy that you could be using to really explain what this is about combat.
Back to my whole point about these town halls. I mean, we are finding other ways. I'm using telephone conferencing town halls. I'm using, my your Congress on the street, your Congress at the supermarket. Even there, you have some risk. I think in terms of not being able to get your message across.
Right. I mean, yesterday,
from your constituents.
Right. I mean, yesterday, as Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, wrote a letter, but it basically said it is un-American to drown out dissent. And then, literally within minutes, it's on Fox News. Nancy Pelosi says Americans, people are un-American that are going to these town halls. Like, that is not, and then you got to spend a news cycle, disputing that, which obviously is not what she meant,
No, of course not. I mean, look, at the end of the day, as I said before, we're gonna continue to listen. We're gonna read through the weeds and get a sense of where our constituency is at. I think what you have going on here, unfortunately, is taking a very critical and important issue for the American people and turning it into a political football.
Yep.
And it's happened before. It's not the first time it's even happened with healthcare, but I do think that this time the cost of continuing is just too great.
Yep.
The cost of not doing something is too high. And I think the expectation is that it's something will be done. I think something will be done.
Yep.
I hope it's
well,
not
that's what the
to the point that we failed to address the most needy. We failed to address the issue at hand, which is the cost.
Right. Right. Yep, absolutely. Well, Congressman, that's what the president said yesterday, that we will get this done, and I choose to remain hopeful. So thank you so much for taking time for us and fighting the
good
fight.
It's great to be on your show.
All right, you too, sir. There he goes. Representative Joe Crowley of the great state of New York, who gets a Let's Hear It for the Boy award, and as does Representative Mike Thompson, a blue dog, who said yesterday, there's plenty in the bill that makes me nervous. What makes me more nervous and frightens me more is allowing health care to go unreformed for another 2, 4, 6, 8 years, so he will vote for health care reform.
Hooray!
Someone let that blue dog out. 44 minutes after the hour. Eric Holder appears poised to do what? Did I hear investigation? We'll tell you what that's all about as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Stephanie and Madison, my namesake sister, on
hey.
The healthcare debate. Hi, Steph.
Great show. Boy,
thank
I've
you,
gone through so many emotions this morning. I just want to
me too.
Myself.
But, you laughed, you cried, you're going to come back again
really,
and again.
I was bawling, but, you know, really, I hope Obama has this one with his town hall meeting to show how it will work. I just hope.
Yep.
And, you know, how can anyone in their right mind protest against health care for all? It's insane. These people screaming are so mature and hateful. They remind me of when I was little and fighting with my sisters, screaming and putting your hands over your ears so you can't hear their point.
Yeah, exactly. It literally is a version is la, 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 can
yeah,
I hear you? You
exactly.
are talking, I'm not listening.
And then, can I say one other thing real
yes.
quick, Steph? I
yes.
think you should use your little old lady voice next time you're on the health, the Ed Show talking about health care. It's great. And Jim's Natasha and Dick Morris are wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that, well, no, you do Natasha,
okay,
too.
Okay. Non-oily taints.
Oily taint. All right.
Natasha, put sock in it. You sound like a crazy person.
But Boris, he does president, does not have birth certificate.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Number three, presto.
Okay. Where's your birth certificate, Moose? We are not knowing where you're from.
Oh, boy. I think I should. Oh, I will be on the Ed Show from live from New York next, when is it, Thursday?
Next Thursday.
Should I do that? But Ed, the president is trying to kill me.
Bring a wig and an old lady purse.
Oh, that's Ed, if I can wear props and
yes.
wigs. You know, I have a whole closet full of wigs and props from my old comedy days.
Wacky.
You did prop comedy?
I'm going to play an old lady, Ed, who thinks the president is trying to kill her.
You did prop comedy?
Uh-huh. And also, I will be on the Campbell Brown Show on CNN, I believe, from New York next Thursday.
You will
and,
be on Campbell Brown?
Squeezy.
Hmm.
No. All right.
No, okay.
Could I have my Dragnet music, please? Oh, good news, bad news. You know, Jim, like we've said, is a little health care reform better than none at all? Is a little investigation of the Bush administration lawbreaking better than none? I don't know. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder appears poised to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate torture, CIA interrogation abuses.
Sort of, kind of.
Kind of. But a probe of even the most egregious abuses is unlikely to lead to criminal convictions because of an array of evidentiary and legal obstacles.
Uh-huh.
Because they did a good job covering the tracks, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A senior Justice Department official said the probe Holder envisions would be narrow in scope, focusing on whether people went beyond the techniques that were authorized in the Bush administration memos. It's illegal. The memos themselves illegal. But apparently this will focus just on the people that went a little too far doing the really illegal stuff. So apparently it'll be legal to have waterboarded someone 18 times, but 19. Now you're really.
Okay, we'll give you Poland, Czechoslovakia, and France, and Norway, but not Britain!
You know who the real victim in all this is, Jim? The torture czar, Alberto Gonzalez, says his reputation has suffered.
Oh.
Well, if he hadn't acted so craptastically, maybe his reputation...
Well, perhaps being the worst attorney general in our history, that would tend to damage one's reputation, yes. He says it sometimes makes him angry that his character has been damaged by his work at the White House. Law firms haven't been offering him jobs, said Gonzalez.
It makes me angry.
You don't want to make him angry.
And the people who've made me angry, just remember, I know where you live. I still have friends in high places. You may not see them. You certainly won't see them coming when they come to your house.
Okay.
Make the bad man stop.
Do Dick Morris now, just to make me happy again. If you missed that earlier, Jim read an entire Dick Morris screed that he emails people that was particularly breathless and panicky, actually.
Mm-hmm. I just can't believe the government signed this thing with him. It's ridiculous. Commie socialists would take over. They don't believe in the free market. If I give you a hand.
Even in print, you can almost hear him wheezing and hacking and gasping for air in his talking between talking points. All right. You know, I think I mentioned the Mexican president yesterday. It mentioned the return of swine flu.
El H1N1.
This H1N1, as we know it, will be back this winter. We are getting prepared, all three countries.
Yeah, if only Esmeralda in our country, Senator Ghostly, had not made the pandemic flu funds disappear.
Yeah. Senator Susan Collins of Maine?
Yes.
Great.
Might be a good time to have some sort of health care of some sort.
No possibility of a pandemic.
All right. The president also in Mexico saying immigration reform will have to wait.
If we continue on the path we're on, we will continue to have tensions with our Mexican neighbors. We will continue to have people crossing the borders in a way that is dangerous for them, unfair for those who are applying legally to emigrate.
Yes.
Yeah, but if you think this debate is screechy, wait till we get to the immigration reform debate again.
I still maintain that we ought to introduce the immigration debate right now so that the right wing can't laser focus on one thing. They'll just get so disorganized that they'll
screechy.
Fall apart.
Yeah, about
exactly.
A lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that will help.
Yeah, it's actually that their two our talking points will collide.
Yes.
Because the one lie about, oh, we're giving free insurance to illegal aliens, which is, of course,
you're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah. That'll collide with the whole, then we're like, well, you know, if we had some sort of immigration reform, we might be able to do something about the illegal immigration problem in the first place.
Oh. When is all vacation? Right. My head hurts.
A couple of weeks. Okay. Jim, I have a... I don't normally give required reading. Only Randy Rhodes gives actual assignments. We're the slacker class. We're like the we're like the easy class.
Yeah, we
progressive talk.
Get the cliff notes.
We're like the... What do they call those? Like rocks for jocks? Like, you know, we're the easy classes.
Geology.
Yeah, we're the easy class. Sexuality. And by the way, you don't have to know this. And you won't be touched on any of it.
Wow.
Okay.
So we're auditing the class.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, Jim, this may be required reading today. Who said, so it seems we aren't going to have a second Great Depression after all. What saved us? The answer, basically, is big government. Who said that?
Roberto Baggio.
No. Paul Krugman. You know, it's pronounced Krugman.
Yes, it is. You finally figured it out.
He wrote a column entitled Averting the Worst, which is, I think, very apropos in the healthcare debate about big government and blah, blah, blah. Jim! Who said the latest flurry of economic reports suggests the economy has backed up several paces from the edge of the abyss? A few months ago, the possibility of falling into the abyss seemed all too real. The financial panic of late 2008 was as severe in some ways as the banking panic of the early 1930s. And for a while, key economic indicators, world trade, world industrial production, even stock prices were falling as faster than they did in 29-30. But in the 30s, the trend lines just kept heading down. This time, the plunge appears to be ending after just one terrible year. Who said that?
Franz Beckenbauer.
No, Paul Krugman. You need to read the rest of that article. That's the required reading for today, and you will be tested on that tomorrow.
Is there cliff notes for it?
No, it's not that long. 57 minutes after the hour. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LeVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.